Welcome back, everybody. This is Steve Lewis, and this is Zone In, Zone In for Fitness. For the next hour, you're going to be zoned in, and we're going to bring up some topics that might interest you concerning your health and your fitness. Today, you know, I want to talk a little bit about addictions. I mean, there's been a lot of stuff in the news lately about this is one of the things is leading to. Major health issues, you know, in particular in the United States. You know, and I'm not just talking drugs and alcohol, and I'm talking the whole spectrum of just addictions, period. And I think that's, you know, I think that's where we've got to start looking at, you know, what our lifestyle is and what we're, you know, how we're going to actually, if we're going to make a change, how we're going to have to, you know, how we're going to make a change based on what we've been doing already. Now, one thing came out the other week, and I don't know if they were just slamming Oreo cookies or what, but they said that Oreo cookies are more addictive than cocaine. Well, I'm sure that drew, you know, the attention of a lot of people because, you know, those are cookies. It's a food. You know, it's something that you go to the store to buy. It's not regulated. It's not illegal. You know, everybody picks it up. But, you know, when you look at what they're saying, it's really quite alarming. I mean, they're saying that, you know, this food addiction, you know, besides the drugs, alcohol, everything else, let's just talk about, you know, can you be addicted to food? And in this case, you're talking about Oreo cookies. They're just saying that Oreo cookies, you know, you could easily be addicted to it. And I don't know. It's just like, to me, it's just like potato chips. You know, you eat potato chips, you can't stop eating them. Oreo cookies is the same thing. You know, you get in the habit of, you know, because of, you know, what's in it and so on and so forth. But food addiction, period, has become a real problem. I mean that's one of the biggest reasons people are saying, you know, they don't really want to get in shape or they don't want to try to lose weight because they'd have to change their diet. So, you know, changing their diet means they're going to eat foods that probably they haven't tasted before or maybe may not like. But more to the point, they're going to have to give up the foods they already like or already are eating. Example, you know, if they're eating Oreo cookies or they can't get off the potato chips. But, you know, I've been talking about glycemic index for a while, for the last few weeks here, you know, and what it is. And it's basically, you know, your sugar being raised at a certain point. To the point that, you know, there's so much sugar in your bloodstream that your body doesn't want to absorb it into your regular cells, which are basically your muscle cells, but your regular cells. And so consequently, it takes it, all that sugar, because it's got to dispose of it someplace, it takes it and it throws it over into fat. So consequently, when you're eating a lot of sugar, that's what happens. Your body said, you know, there's just so much out here. I don't know what to do with this, and I can't take it all in. So, you know, until I can figure out what to do with this, I'm just going to put it aside in fat. But we didn't talk about the psychology of how all that works. You know, we just talked, you know, the physical side of it. You know, what happens physically, internally. You know, so you know, well, I guess because you're eating these certain foods that you love, okay, and there becomes this pleasurable sensation that you pick up. As soon as you, I don't know, it could be the fact that once you see, just like, well, the Oreo cookies, once you see the Oreo cookies, you know, you start to say, oh, you might start salivating, yeah, this is what it's going to taste like, oh, and I don't know, for the ones out there that really go crazy, but, you know, you break open the cookie and then you eat the cream first and then you start back eating the cookie and then, you know, you've had one, now you want to do it again and you can't stop eating. I'm not, you know, knocking it. I mean, I like Oreo cookies, but I don't have to have them. You know, maybe one. I don't even have to have one. I mean, I'm not really crazy about them. So when the study came out and said that, you know, Oreo cookies are, you know, almost as addictive as cocaine, I had to step back and think what they're saying. They're saying that, you know, this food addiction has gotten out of control. You know, well, one of the things is, you know, I've talked, you know, for the last few weeks, you know, about obesity a little bit. You know, and like I said, 3 out of 10 people in the U.S. are obese. You know, and basically, you know, there are different ranges, but really, it just means they're overweight. You know, and there's a weight guideline, but, you know, some of that doesn't take into account the fact that, you know, they might be muscular or they train for, you know, certain events. But anyway, we're talking about the average person, you know, the average person out there, 3 of the average people out of every 10 are going to be overweight, okay? And the reason for them being overweight is, the suggestion here is that, you know, they're addicted to food. You know, they can't give up certain things. Now, I have to talk a little bit about addictions, okay? Now, I was never really addicted to food. I think I liked certain types of food, and I didn't like other types of food. I mean, you know, growing up, you know, I just had to have a hamburger for every meal. It's either a hamburger for every meal, or I had to have bacon, you know, first thing. You know, all that's changed only because of the fact that, you know, I got into sports, you know, and had to, you know, learn how to feed my body in order to, you know, make the performance, you know, in order to perform at a certain level. And then that's what really started changing my mind about food. So, and from there, once I started thinking that, you know, that was going to help me, that's what I did. But after I stopped playing, then I decided, you know, okay, then, you know, what's the sense? If there's no game or nothing that I have to prepare for, yeah, I'm going to go eating whatever I want. And that's typically what I figured everybody else was doing. But now, I did pick up one bad habit that that really just, you know, I was trying to figure out where it came from. But and then for so many years, I couldn't get off of smoking. You know, really, at one point, I was smoking probably 4 packs of cigarettes a day. 4 packs a day. I mean, you know, and I'm still going to the gym at some point in time. But, you know, I'm smoking 4 packs of cigarettes a day. And, you know, when I thought about it, I said, well, I asked myself, do I have to give this up? I mean, if I just go back to the gym. I mean, I don't know why I just didn't want to give up the cigarettes. At first I did. I didn't know why I wanted to give them up. You know, I said, well, maybe, you know, if I just work out, get a good source of vitamins and minerals in me, and and then watch my diet, I can get away with the smoking. Well, the more I exercise, the more I wanted to smoke. I wasn't really sure. Then I read somewhere, you know, that smoking, you know, was related to, could be related to hormonal changes. So if I'm in the gym pumping iron and all of a sudden now my testosterone is raising after I'm done, you know, working out, now I want a cigarette. Kind of like that, you know, you have to have the sex and now the cigarette comes after that. Well, you know, so then at that point, I just fooled myself to thinking, well, then I'm never going to be able to give it up because I still should work out. I mean, I've gotten used to the weights and what to do with them and, you know, but then I came along and started thinking, well, you know, I got to do some cardiovascular work here, you know, so did a little walking and, you know, and then really, resistance training and cardiovascular training are two separate things. So the matter how well you're in shape with the resistance training, you still have to do the cardio. Well, if you're smoking like I was, okay, you're not going to be able to do it very well. You're not going to walk very far or run very far or run, you know, or run for a long time or walk for a long time. And that's the situation that I found myself in, you know. And so I really struggled with trying to figure out, you know, should I let this go? How do I let this go? You know, and then, you know, how should I do it or whatever? And I'm sitting here now thinking, okay, you know, now it's the easiest thing in the world. Just say quit, but you can't, you know, I could. So I was learning firsthand about addiction. You know, then I realized I had a real serious problem. I can't remember when they started, but back some time ago, I want to say at least 20 years ago, there was a day every year that the American Cancer Society would say, today is the American Smoke Out Day, okay? So that means if you're a smoker, we want you to give up this particular day for smoking. Don't smoke this day. And for me, I thought that, you know, that's a sensible challenge. I can do it. If I'd been smoking all year long, I think I can do that, you know, just one day. Well, let me tell you, I didn't realize how bad my addiction was until I tried to quit that one day. I couldn't quit for an hour. And in fact, after a half an hour, I was, you know, literally, you know, grabbing at the walls trying to figure out, you know, when I could have my next cigarette. And I was thinking, so I never lasted on those Great American Smokeouts. It didn't work for me. I couldn't do it. I could not do it at all. So, you know, when I started thinking about it, I said, wait a minute. So I got a real serious problem here. And then that's when I really started going back. So, okay, you know what, maybe I can compensate. Again, thinking, you know, I can compensate by working out and getting into shape, and that will, you know, make it easier for me with, you know, the smoking. So, and it did for a while. I mean, I smoked from the time I was, I smoked heavily from the time I was 25 to the time I was in my early 40s. So, you know, and at this time, I'm still going to the doctor and getting, my blood tested to see if my cholesterol's up, so on and so forth, or if my blood pressure's up. You know, I'm checking all these things. And actually, I was doing pretty good, but, you know, it was only because I was still young, and I, you know, and my body hadn't broke down yet, you know, because of this. But I'm talking to the doctor, and he said, well, if you're, you know, you're in good shape now, but, you know, what are you going to do, you know, 25, 30 years from now if you're still around? Or you don't really know what changes are going on in your body now because you're inhaling all the smoke. I looked at it. I mean, right now, if we look at statistics, in 2010, they had 43.5 million adults that were smoking, okay? That's about 20% of the U.S. population. I should say 43.5 million U.S. adults, okay? And so that's 20% of the U.S. adult population were smoking, all right? And the men were a little bit higher than the women, but again, you know, let me tell you what the problems that happened for me with the smoking, which led me to, you know, to the conclusion that I'm just going to have to give this up somehow. The biggest problem was I became tired pretty quickly. You know, I had energy at one point, but I became tired pretty quickly. Two, my heart rate was always elevated. I mean, it's like I could, you know, I could feel my heart coming through the chest. And I was like, okay, well, you know, what's all this about? Now, those weren't bad enough for me to quit. What started to happen to me, like maybe, say, 10 years or 15 years after doing this, is that every winter, now, you know, I'm living, you know, in Chicagoland area, so, you know, the winters, you know, you got it's pretty cold. Every winter, I'm coming up with bronchitis. Every single winter, which means I got this real bad cold, and so now I can't work. I can't get to work. I got to get to the doctor. I got to take antibiotics. I got to figure out, you know, how to get rid of this thing. And it goes on every year like clockwork. And I'm thinking, you know, this goes on. And so I'm talking to one of the doctors in the ER one year, and he says, you know, this is the first sign of, one of the first signs of, you know, lung cancer. And I said, yeah, but I work out. He says, yeah, you work out, but, you know, you're getting older, so it's not going to, you know, it's not going to compensate for it. So that's when I went back to my regular practitioner and I said, hey, you know, maybe, you know, you can prescribe me one of those pills and I'll see how, you know, those pills that help you to stop smoking or the gum or something, and then I can, because back then you couldn't just get it over the counter. You had to have an actual prescription for it. So you had to go to the doctor and he'd give you the gum and he'd give you the pills. And so that's what I did. And he said, well, if you want to stop, you know, you got to make up your mind to do it, because otherwise you're going to be wasting money. He said, well, you know, I want to give it a shot. Maybe, you know, I'm thinking I should be able to, but I don't know. I've been trying those smoke outs, and those don't work for me. I mean, really, half an hour through, I don't know why. Maybe it's just, you know, my mind, I'm thinking that I can't quit, and that's what happened. So, anyway, I had the gum, pills. And the next thing you know, I got the gum, the pills, you know, which are basically substitutes for the nicotine that you're getting out of the cigarettes. I'm smoking, eating those just like candy. So it's like nothing's working for me. And I, you know, that continued for quite a long time. In fact, that continued all the way up until 9/11. Okay. Prior to that, though, prior to 9/11, I had been trying to quit, but it never really seemed to work. And so I had to really think hard how I was going to attack this. What was I going to do? I just blew it off, like I say, up until 9/11. And I'm watching the news, you know, because they were, you know, during that time, they were, you know, just rebroadcasting over and over again about, you know, the Trade Center, the building coming down, the people, you know, the Trade Center on fire, the people jumping off the building. And so I tried to put myself in place of one of those guys or people that was getting ready to jump off the building. And I said to myself, well, you know, I'm getting ready to jump. Do I think I would want a cigarette then? Yeah, I probably would. And then an even worse fear came. And I said, William, well, suppose I didn't have any cigarettes on me. Suppose I had ran out of the office trying to get away with this fire, ran into a room where there was no cigarettes, and then I realized that was it. Would I care? I don't know. But, you know, that's how I realized, you know, this addiction thing I got is really pretty bad. I said, okay, I got to figure out what to do with this. I got to figure out how to get past this. Now, then I started reading about addictions, and then when the first thing you bring up addiction, the first thing they're thinking, well, I should say, the first thing that comes to anybody's mind is going to be alcohol and drugs, okay? Those are the basic addictions. But food is also a big addiction. Yes, food. Okay? I mean, there's no drug in there, but the things that food can do to you based on a couple of chemicals, like, okay, sugar, fat, and salt. Okay? Your body's going to crave those if you become so accustomed to having them, okay, and also you associate pleasurable feelings surrounding them, it's, you know, it's going to be your comforter. It's going to be like me with cigarettes, you know. Every time I got a little stressed, or I had to worry about, I had to think about something. If I had something that I really had to concentrate on, I would just sit in a room, dark, quiet, and just smoke. And really, I was thinking that, you know, the smoking actually allowed me to think better, you know, because it relaxed me. I mean, that's what I was thinking, but that's not what happened. It was just that, you know, I had just told myself this was what was going on, that, you know, in order to think about something, I needed a cigarette. So, again, I started associating different things with the cigarette, okay? Okay, one of the things was after sex, okay, got to have a cigarette. The next thing, okay, after a nice meal, you got to have a cigarette, okay? You get out of a long meeting, you got to have a cigarette, all right? Come out of church, got to have a cigarette. This is exactly what I was doing. Now, when I start listening to people tell me about, you know, how come they can't stop eating, I'm thinking, look, you know, here, these are the number of calories you need, cut back on this, and they're like, well, I can't, you know, I like this food, that food, so on and so forth, and really, it wasn't until after I got through the addiction that I started realizing that, yeah, that's pretty much the same way I felt about cigarettes. So this thing about, you know, being addicted to Oreo cookies, I you know, it's not just Oreo cookies. It could be, for some people, it could be just fried chicken. Now, let me say this. Anything in moderation, as far as food goes, forget the cigarettes, because there's nothing I get out of cigarettes. But anything in moderation, okay, you know, your body can handle. But when you get out of control with it, you know, it's going to impair your performance no matter what you're doing, whether it's housework, whether it's, you know, something on the job, it's just going to take it down. So, and then with me, one of the biggest things, you know, over the later years became the isolation, because now you can't smoke everywhere. You know, when I was growing up, you could smoke in a theater. Yes. You could smoke inside the theater. I guess that means I'm kind of old because that's been a long time. But yes, you could smoke inside of a theater. Okay? Then they moved the smoking from on the lower level of the theater, you could smoke in the balcony. And then pretty soon it was out, you know, then, you know, you couldn't do it anymore. Then you had to, it was out the door. Now, of course, I was a little boy at the time, you know, so, and I wasn't smoking, but smoking was always around me. But another reason why I know that, because when I was trying to quit, I had to think about how did I come to do all this smoking. And I was saying, you know what, I grew up with everybody smoking around me. There were always cigarettes, you know, and at the time when I wasn't smoking, there were candy cigarettes. So in order to quit, I had to figure out what was triggering me to do that. And now that was one of the things. So I had to write down what's triggering me to do that. Well, one of the things was, you know, it allowed me to relax when I had to think about something. It gave me a break in the action when I left, you know, a meeting or something. And it seemed very pleasurable, you know, instead of trying to, you know, get a slice of apple pie or some other dessert after a meal, to have it. But the biggest thing was, it was how I felt about smoking. I thought it was cool. And that's why I did it. I mean, really, when I really sat down and thought about it, I had to figure out, you know, what was going on in my head. And I was saying, you know what? When I really think about smoking, I'm thinking about two people, okay, in my mind that I'm trying to emulate. And those are either Clint Eastwood or Robert De Niro. Really, that was it. Yeah. I put a cigarette in my mouth, light up, and say, make my day. I mean, I didn't literally say that, but in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm cool just like this guy. Or either Robert De Niro. You know, seriously, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, yep, I had a cigarette in my hand. I'm a tough guy, and I'm looking at somebody. Are you talking to me? You talking to me? That is exactly how I felt. But by the time I got ready, was serious about quitting, I had to go back and look at those guys. They weren't smoking anymore. They're still around, but they weren't smoking anymore. They were still cool, but they weren't smoking anymore. And so I said, you know what? That's going to be my edge. I'm going to have to be one of these cool guys that don't smoke. I'm going to have to tell myself I'm not a smoker. And that's when I had to start watching people that didn't smoke. What do they do? When they're stressed out and they got to think about something, what do they do? Well, I had to stay away from the people that had addictions to food because I didn't want to eat. But that's what I had to think about. I had to think. I had to actually, because I can't see myself. You know, I don't walk around with a mirror all day. Nobody does. So you don't walk around with a mirror all day, okay? So you can't see yourself. So you are actually thinking that you're somebody else. Or you've been, starts with your parents. You see your parents. So now you're emulating what your parents are doing. Only because of the fact you can't see yourself. So you think that's what you're doing. It's the same thing. So the cigarettes, that's what I was doing. I was trying to be Clint Eastwood or Robert De Niro. And I had to stop doing that. And I had to figure out how to do that. And that's what I did. Now, for the people that are eating, that have an eating habit, or, addiction to food, I should say, that's pretty much what they got to do. They got to start looking at the people that are thin and try to emulate what they're doing. Now, that's the first change. And then I've been talking to a lot of people out there that have eating problems. But they all hang around other people that have eating problems. I mean, okay. And I said to myself, that was one of the problems that I discovered when I was smoking. All my friends smoked. So if I wasn't smoking, I was still going to be around people that smoked. Now what am I going to do? I had to have an answer for that too. I had to figure out how I was going to get around that piece and still achieve what I wanted to achieve. Let me tell you, like I said, 30% of the population, of the U.S. population, they're overweight. The amazing thing here to me, when I think about food addiction, is how our society has evolved over the last, say, 25 years. I mean, everything has been supersized. Everything. In particular, we've got births. Babies are being born 12 pounds, 16 pounds, 22 pounds. They're showing the pictures of the baby being extremely overweight at birth. Well, I don't even want to see the pictures of the baby. I want to see the picture of the mother. I want to know this. I want to say, this really was a human, right? I mean, what happened here? How did this happen? And this is what it is. I mean, we've just come to the fact that people are just being overindulgent, and that's it. So they just can't stop because they just keep eating. And now it's like, McDonald's. You can't go in there and buy a small Coke anymore. Small is a medium, okay? And a medium is what used to be a large. I mean, everything is getting bigger. It's just out of control. If you have an addiction, you know you have an addiction. You know you got a problem, just like I did. I knew I had a problem with smoking. I just didn't want to give it up. But once you decide you want to make a change, okay, start thinking about how those changes are going to impact you, and then impact your life in terms of, you know, maybe your friends and everything else that, you know, around you, like your job, how's it going? I mean, really, if you're one of those emotional eaters, which I think anybody that overeats is an emotional eater, okay? If you're one of those emotional eaters, all right, you're going to have to look at what's depressing you and figure out how to get away from that and how to reduce the stress in your life without using food. Okay, we're coming up on a break here. When we come back, I'm going to tell you some things that helped me break my addiction to nicotine or cigarettes. And what I believe can actually help you if you've got an addiction to food. Now, some of the things I'm going to advise is, you know, I want you to check it out with your doctor. But come back and I'll give you all the info. Thank you. Hey, welcome back to Zone In. This is Steve Lewis. And we've been talking a little bit about addictions before the break. I was giving my side of the story in terms of what happened to me with cigarette smoking. And what we're talking about, in this case, for a lot of people out there that have food addictions, like I said, there was a study out with people being addicted to Oreo cookies, In any event, I mean, I'm just saying that it's not just Oreo cookies. There's a lot of foods out there that people do not want to give up, and they have to have every day in order to sustain, or that they think they have to have every day in order to sustain their life. You know, like it could be donuts in the morning. That was one of the other things. Years ago, I had to have a dozen of donuts. When I sat back and started thinking about, the fact that I had to, come off the cigarettes, I realized that if I could do it, I would also have a plan for people that had, problems with food. Now, one of the things that came out of this study about the Oreo cookies was the fact that, when you're eating, certain pleasurable sensations take place inside your body. Okay. Which is fine. Okay. But if you have to have it all the time, it means that there's something else in your life that's bothering you. And this was the same thing with cigarettes. There was stress, so I picked up the cigarette. And this is what I uncovered to help me out. Just a little bit, so I can get past this thing with the addiction. I started taking some supplements, and supplements I took, I basically figured out what to take based on what medications the doctor had prescribed for me when I went to him and asked, hey, do you have anything I can take in order to help me get off these cigarettes? And at the time, there was, nicotine gum, and then there was another pill. I think it was called Zyban or something like that. Anyway, what Zyban did, basically, was help you to relax and counter-react anything that you would have, any negative feelings that you would have toward, toward stress. And basically what it was something to help you. It was like an antidepressant, basically. That's what it was. That's like anything that's gonna help mellow you out, kind of speak. Okay. Now, so I have been studying herbs, natural herbs, for a while, and trying to look around to see for different things. So when the doctor told me this. I said, you know what? I don't know what this is going to do. I said to myself, I don't know what this is going to do to my liver. So, you know, I want something natural maybe that I can use that's going to help me out, and then that I won't be addicted to it, you know, to have that all the time. In any event, this is what I came up with. Velvet bean extract, okay? I use this for about, I use this for about 3 months. Now, again, going back, you know, to my situation, I'm smoking 4 packs of cigarettes a day, basically. Even though I'm working out, you know, I'm running 2 and 3 miles a day, I still know that I still knew that I had to get off these cigarettes, you know, which is what I, you know, I was trying to do, which meant that, you know, with 4 packs of cigarettes a day, you know, it's like about 5 cigarettes, you know, like every 5 cigarettes every hour, you know. So I was, you know, I had never gone a day within this time period of almost 20 years without having at least 1 cigarette. So, but I found this velvet bean extract and I started taking it. Now, velvet bean extract has an ingredient in there called L-DOPA, which is very similar to L-dopamine. Now, dopamine basically is an antidepressant. So that's what I did, you know, because, you know, the doctor giving me antidepressants. So I said, wait a minute, I'm not going to take his. I'll see what this, you know, velvet bean does. So I took velvet bean, and for 3 months, I was able to relax without a cigarette. Yeah, I had some withdrawal issues, but I was good. I mean, really, it helped me to stop. I was totally amazed. Now, I wasn't totally out of the woods because, you know, certain stressful situations would come up, and I don't know, maybe it depends on what I had eaten or whatever, or how much dopamine, I mean, how much velvet bean I had taken. What, bottom line is, I went right back to smoking. Only this time, it was different. The difference was, I knew I could stop, because I had already stopped for 3 months. Whereas before, I had never done that. So in my mind, I knew I just had to start changing my mind to thinking what I needed to do. And no matter what the addiction, that's what the problem is that you've got to figure out, maybe, you know, like I said, so I'm putting this out here, you know, velvet bean can help you, but, you know, you've got to, when, once you start changing your mind to thinking that you don't want this anymore, anything that's going to give you a chemical reaction to help you, like this velvet bean here for depression, is going to help you. I had success with this. You know, I told several people about it that had success with this. When I looked up in the studies done on, you know, there was success with this now. But here's again, if you're taking any kind of medication, you're on you know, any special diet or, you know, you're, you know, diabetic or whatever, please check with your doctor first, okay? My situation was I didn't have a history of anything. The only problem I had was the cigarettes. That was it. So, but if you've got other issues, go check with that first. But I'm going to tell you, this velvet bean really worked out. I was just totally impressed. I mean, so after the 3 months, I started back smoking. I went right back to try and quit again, okay? I tried again, and, you know, another 3 months, and then I started smoking again. I had to keep trying a few times, okay? But each time it got longer and longer, okay? The first time was 3 months. The next time was 4 months. You know, it was a few more months longer than what it had been before. And then finally, you know, because now my mind is getting conditioned at that point to quit. All right. And I did, eventually. I quit after, like I said, and I quit probably my last cigarette, I can tell you the day was November 9th, 2001. That was it. Gone. That was it. No more since then. But by this time, I'd already figured out what to do. The withdrawals, I knew what to do for that, and so on, so on and so forth. And that's another thing. When you start doing it, you got to start, somehow writing down how you're feeling and what's going on. Now, at the time, you're thinking, oh, I'm going crazy because I don't have the food, or I don't have the cigarette, or the drugs, or whatever else it is that you might be addicted to. But I'm telling you, if you can just write down what's happening at that point right then, you'll be able to come back later and say, okay, now I got to have an answer for this. What's going to be my answer when I go crazy? I mean, so one of the other things that I found as far as a supplement was synephrine, okay? This is an ingredient kind of like ephedrine, or ephedra, which was the weight loss supplement that got banned a few years ago, but now it's kind of like back a little bit. But anyway, it's a weaker brand of ephedrine, okay? Synephrine, that's what it is. Now, the only problem with this is that it raises your blood pressure. So if you've got blood pressure issues or you're taking some MAO inhibitor, don't even think about it. But if not, the only problem you have is eating, okay? And you need something to kind of pick you up a little bit and get you going. Synephrine really worked for me. And I noticed that back some time ago when I was taking ephedrine in order to lose weight. I lost my appetite for certain things. I mean, I had to literally force myself to eat, and I wasn't craving a cigarette. Again, check with your doctor first. You got to know what your condition is. With me, I was always, every 6 months I was running blood tests to see, what my cholesterol was, my how well my kidneys were functioning and how my liver was doing, so on. So, I was kind of like a guinea pig. I was doing all these kind of tests on me, and then I'm, reading literature and looking at all these studies. But I'm telling you, these two supplements alone helped me get through, really, food and cigarettes. Now, it's not but I had to change my mind. It's not like a magic bullet. It's not something that was going, that just all of a sudden, you take these and boom, it's gone. No, you've got to want to do it, okay? And these supplements will help you, okay? Now, I'm just putting it out there for what it's worth, to let you know that, there is something to help you, to assist you. But your physician, may have something stronger or better. Could be. But that addiction to food, really, there are so many problems coming up with that. It's just cancer, heart disease. I mean, really, I had no idea that it was as bad as it is, And so when they're telling me that these people are addicted to food, at first I didn't believe it, but then now I'm seeing the effects. And then again, what I know that I went through addicted to cigarettes, I realize, if they're on the same path, this food, it's really got to be bad. I mean, I guess because you're eating all the time, I can only imagine, the things that you're going through in terms of your relationships, your family, at work. So whatever you have to do, go out there, find something to help you, answer all these issues that you have that's pushing you to rely on food, just like I did with cigarettes. I mean, really, I just had to think of being a different person. Now I was, no longer Clint Eastwood who smoked cigarettes or Robert De Niro smoking cigarettes. I was those two guys without the cigarettes. And that's, you know, well, there is one more thing I want to talk about. Now, another mineral that also helped me to basically balance out my sugar, my glucose level, basically, you know, so my sugar wouldn't go up and down. And that's basically what happens. You know, your sugar's going up and down. So consequently, you know, when it drops, you want to grab either food or you want to grab a cigarette or you want to grab some drugs or something. One of the things that helped me with that was chromium polynucleotide. I'm sorry, let me see if I can pronounce this properly. Chromium polynucleotide. Okay. That's polynucleotide. This is chromium bound to niacin. Now, niacin helps you to, you know, basically balance your sugar. I mean, so, and you add the two together, it's really very powerful. So, these three things together, L-DOPA, which is from the velvet bean extract, synephrine, and chromium polynucleotide, okay, will help you with any addiction that you're currently having. So I hope I've been helpful on that point. I've been trying to, you know, tell you, because really, you already know that if you can't stop eating Oreos or you can't stop eating potato chips, you know that you have a problem. Or if you're trying to hide food all the time, you know you got a problem. Or if you were like me, you know, you're trying to get rid of those cigarettes. All right, I'm going to switch gears here a little bit. Let me talk about some more technology, some smart apps that I found to be really outstanding, especially for the price. They're all free, okay? The first app I want to talk about is the Petameter, okay? This is another app that you can pull down from the Google Play Store. And you can put it on your smartphone or your tablet, or even your smart TV now, okay? And, well, not smart TV because you can't walk around with TV. But anyway, if this app is on your smartphone, okay, or your tablet, okay, which you walk around with, it'll count your steps, okay? Now, you know, we've talked about, you know, exercise, and then one of the things that a lot of the doctors are now recommending is that everybody puts in at least 10,000 steps a day. Well, this thing, if you pull down the app, it will track your app, the number of steps that you put in per day, or put in at any time. It tracks you walking, okay? You can just watch it as you go by. But if you put it on you, okay, and it starts tracking you. So now, if you're not at 10,000, you know to increase your steps. Start out, you know, go walking or do some more moving or whatever, okay? Or, you know, if you say, well, today I only did 5,000, then the next day, you know, you can increase it. But it's a great app for tracking your steps. It's called a Petameter, and it's out on the Google Play Store, and it's free, okay? The next app I want to talk about is Fat Secret, okay? I like this app. You know, you got to kind of play with it a little bit at first, but it's free, okay? But it's got an extensive food database, all right? Now, it's got all the good foods, the bad foods. It tells you how many calories are in there. So if you're going to be counting calories, and again, if you want to lose weight, you're going to have to count calories. If you want to maintain your weight, you've got to count calories. Anyway, it has an extensive food database that will allow you to tell you how many calories are in the food that you're eating, which is great. I mean, that's a great way to, you know, you go, you pull down the app, you put it on your smartphone, pull up and say, okay, I want to eat, you know, well, how many cheeseburgers can I have? Or how, if I'm going to eat Oreo cookies, how many can I actually have based on the number of calories, you know, that I have for the day? It's going to tell you that. It's going to tell you how many calories are in it, and then you can figure out from there what you can eat. It also has an excellent grocery store database. Now, you know, for most of the grocery store chains, you know, it can tell you, you know, what foods you can buy from which chains, okay? And then based on that, you already know, and then it's going to give you the calories of those foods that you're, so of those foods that you generally shop and bring home. This is really excellent. Because sometimes you get these, if you go online, you try to figure out, well, I went over to, say you go to, I don't know what stores are out there now, but in the Chicagoland area, Jewel Osco is one of the biggest chains here. You go out to Jewel and say, well, I bought this stuff over at Jewel now, but I can't remember how many calories are in the food. But hey, you go out there, you pick up this particular app and pull it down, okay? Plug in Jewel, and it'll tell you all the foods listed there for Jewel, okay? And whatever that you bought, now you can, or if you're going to plan in advance, I'm telling you, in order to lose weight, you got to plan in advance. You can figure out in advance your recipes based on coupons or whatever else and your calorie count, and then get it, do it in advance, pull this thing down, put together a plan, and execute it for the week. I'm telling you. This is something you got to have, especially when you're looking to maintain your weight or bring your weight down, okay? It also has an excellent database for restaurants, mostly the large restaurant chains. So everywhere you, if you're going to eat out, you're going to say, well, what should I have? Plan in advance. This is a way of doing it. Go in there and look to see, okay, when I go to, Red Lobster or whatever other chain that you go to, Chili's or whatever, okay, it can tell you what's on the menu item, how many calories are in there, and then you can figure out, you know, am I going to have this or that based on what your particular goals are. Excellent app, and it's free. The last app is MyFitnessPal, okay? This app basically, you know, tracks a lot of the stuff that you do with running, weight resistance. And what I like most about it is that it interacts with several other apps, okay? I'm running short on time here, but I'm just going to tell you. Look, go to Google Play Store and pull that down, okay? It's an excellent app. It, like I said, it works for a lot of stuff you probably already have if you've been pulling those down already. But anyway, technology has come to the point that it's going to helping everybody to the point that, you know, you don't have no more guessing, no more guesswork. You can figure it out, put a plan together very quickly, okay? And it will track all the stuff for you. But it's all up to you. You got to change your mind, okay? If you want to be serious, okay, there's stuff out there to do it. So anyway, that's our show for today. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you got something out of it. And I'm going to see you back next week. You've been zoned in for fitness. Thank you very much.